Good morning.
Good morning.
Shem Yichud Kutsu Brichu Shechinte.
Seva Shabusas.
Okay. Special welcome to Rabbi Blumstein, who's joining us. Nice to have you here. We'll start with a niggun. I thank you, Hashem. People don't know, but that actually wasn't Joey Newcomb who composed that. It was the Rashbi. Okay. So we have Lag BaOmer coming, Haba Aleinu Latova. And we know there are many connections between the celebration of Lag BaOmer and what's known as the Hilula de Rashbi, which is the assumption that the Rashbi passed away on Lag BaOmer, and we'll see shortly, likely he was born on Lag BaOmer as well. I'd like to explore, what does the Rashbi and the celebration of Lag BaOmer have to do with what's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch speaks about the idea that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, and that's a whole interesting discussion unto itself. And that was the cause of a celebration in subsequent years, that Baruch Hashem, the Talmidim stopped dying, and Rabbi Akiva, he found five new Talmidim. Like the Gemara says, they were the ones to continue the legacy of Torah Shebaal Peh. So is there any connection? The Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, was one of those five Talmidim, that's true. But generally, when we think about Lag BaOmer, you either go in the direction of what the Shulchan Aruch speaks about, the Talmidim stopped passing away, and now Rabbi Akiva had five new Talmidim, or you go in the direction of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and bonfires, and the Hilula de Rashbi. Are those two ideas connected? The topic is the secret world of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. We're not going to climb into the secret world of the Rashbi because we don't have the kalim to do that. However, we will explore some of the interesting sources and insights into who the Rashbi was and a little bit of an understanding, at least from a far distance, of what he accomplished through the teaching of Nistor and the revelation of the Zohar. The B'nai Yisachar writes that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is known in Kabbalistic literature as the Otzina Kadisha, as the holy flame or the holy lamp, because Nisgalu Nisgalzei Sodos HaTorah, that through his avoda he was able to reveal incredible secrets of Torah. And that's why the Sefer that's based on the teachings of the Rashbi is known as the Sefer HaZohar, right, the book of splendor, that sharing that light, that Or HaGonuz of the Torah HaKadosha. Says the B'nai Yisachar, the celebration of Lag BaOmer is a celebration of the real taking root of some of these sparks of Kedusha and light that were emanating from the Rashbi, and now being shared with the world. It sounds like that was really chal, that really started to take place on Lag BaOmer, which is Yoma de Hilula de Rashbi, the day that the Rashbi passed away and ascended l'shmei merumim, u'mistoma b'yom zen nolad gamkein. And although we don't have clear evidence, but the assumption is that he was also born on that day, because we have the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Memalish Noseim Sho Tzadiki Miyom El Yom, like we find by Moshe Rabbeinu. And there are Kabbalistic connections between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Rashbi. What was special about Lag BaOmer, the last day of his life, in relation to the revelation of Sodei HaTorah? So we'll see in a moment from the famous passage in the Zohar that it seems like there is this real focus and intensity of transmission of Nistor on that day. V'tziva l'Rab Abba lichtov kol haginzei Nistoros. The Rashbi instructed Rabbi Abba to write down all the teachings that he was sharing the last day of his life. that shamur lonu levaneinu, that have been guarded for us and for our children for all generations. Hilula derashbi is Lag BaOmer. Now, what exactly took place on that day? This is where we find the Idra Zuta. We have the Idra Rabba and Idra Zuta. Idra Rabba was the larger gathering of the Rashbi with his Talmidim. Larger meaning only about 9 Talmidim. And then the Idra Zuta was a smaller gathering, which was all taking place in the last day of his life, Lag BaOmer, when he revealed incredible sodos of Torah. Let's read together some of the holy words of the Zohar. Tana ba yom derashbi ba li istalka min alma v'havim misader milo. It was on that day the Rashbi was about to leave this world, and he was organizing his, getting his stuff in order. Is kenoshu chavraya lebei Rabbi Shimon, and the chevra, his friends, his talmidim, came to Rabbi Shimon. Vavu kamai Rabbi Lozer Brei, so who was there? Rabbi Lozer, his son, Rabbi Abba Ushar Chavarai, and the rest of the Chevra. Vahave Malya Beisa, and besides this special group of Talmidim, the entire house was filled with people as well. Zokev Eino Rabbi Shimon Vachoma Dismole Beisa, so he looked up and he saw there were people all throughout the house. What's the reaction of seeing that, hey, the room is filled? Bocha Reb Shimon. He began to cry and he said, Bezibna chora kad havanu be mare. There was an earlier time, many years prior, where I was very sick. Havi Reb Pinchas ben Yor kamai, and Reb Pinchas ben Yor came to be mevaker chola. What was their relationship, Reb Pinchas ben Yor and the Rashbi? So it seems like from the Gemara and Shabbos, we'll take a look at it in a moment, that Reb Pinchas ben Yair was the son-in-law of the Rashbi. According to other Girsos in the Zohar, maybe he was actually the father-in-law of the Rashbi, but they were mishpacha. So he came to me while I was very ill. And when I was up in Shemayim, it sounds like he was having like a real outer body experience. I chose a place, right? I'm sure when you're on that level, it's not just like you find your card and, oh, I'm on table 13, you know, but choose wherever you'd like to sit in Gan Eden. So I had my seat set up. I had my shtender ready, my svarim on the table. This, okay. However, I was instructed to come back into this world. The katavna ascher esha mikamai umalin lo espok. And when I came back, I was in this new existence where, although I was back in Olam Hazeh, there was this Eish around me, this fire that surrounded me, which from the commentators on the Zohar, it sounds like it was the Eish of the Shekhinah. That's the connection to the last two Shirim we gave, right? Kudsha Brichu Shekhinte. And from that day on, it never left me. So I was now living in Olam Hazeh with this real presence of Hashem, Elohava al bar nosh elab reshusa. And because I had this intensity of Kedusha around me and surrounding me, it wasn't even possible to come into my mechitza without getting permission. Vahashta chemene de ispasak v'ho ismole besa. But now I'm looking around and I see that the whole house is filled. Every person that wants to come in and get a glimpse of the Rashbi is here, so obviously I no longer have that shechina, and that's why he was crying. Adhoda yasvi posach eino Reb Shimon v'chama madachama. However, Reb Shimon looked up, and he saw what he saw. V'aschar esha bebesa, and then that fire came back. So though there was a moment where he lost the fire, it came back. At that point, everyone intuitively knew that they couldn't stay in that same proximity of the Rashbi, and it was only the Chevra that was there with him, the Idra Zuta.
So
So he lifted his hands in the air and he began to daven. What was he davening for? So explains the Mosuk Midavash, which is a very helpful commentary on the Zohar. He says he was davening that the sodos he's about to reveal should be clear and understood without any misunderstanding. So he raised his hands in prayer, v'havachodi, and he was rejoicing. You could see the simcha, and he said, "Ah, the chevra's here together. What an incredible moment!" Probably understanding the impact of this moment, not just for him and those talmidim, but for the continuity of Kalal Yisrael. So he said many teachings on that day. One interesting teaching is Pasach Reb Shimon v'Amar, Ani l'dodi v'alai teshukoso, quoting the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, I am for my beloved, and my beloved has an incredible desire for me. So this is Klal Yisrael saying that we are devoting our lives to Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a tshuka yaseira, has this unquenchable desire for Klal Yisrael. So explain Reb Shimon, Kol yomen dis kartana b'hai alma, every day, yiskartana is the Aramaic for katura, that every day I was tied to this world. Bechad ketira yiskatarna be b'kudsha brichu, I made it my focus to be continuously connected to Hashem. Ubeginkach hashta v'ole chukoso, and because of that, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has had and still has until my dying day this special love for me. Dehu v'chol siyata kadisha delay osu l'mishma b'chedva milin stimin. Who else is here with us in this room besides the six talmidim who are hearing the revelations of the Zohar? Kudsha Brichu is coming with the celestial beings as well to hear and to participate in these secrets, and not just coming to listen, but also l'mishta b'chedva, this constant reinforcement of this joy that they were sharing together in this moment. The Idra Zuta goes on at the very end of this section of the Zohar. The author of the Zohar tells us, Kol ahu yoma, so like this is Rabbi Abba writing, that entire day, lo afsik esha min besa, that fire did not leave the house of the Rashbi, and therefore everyone was standing outside knowing something special was happening inside, but they couldn't really approach. However, there came a time on Lag BaOmer that the fire diminished and then it was extinguished. That Kedusha of Esh was no longer there. Chameina lebutzina Kedisha Kodesh HaKadoshim diestalik min alma. At that moment, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holy flame, was ascended from this world. Is atef shochi valyumine, the Rashbi was wrapped in his talis, lying down in his right side, like we find in Halacha. V'anpoi chaychi, and his face had a smile. That's how he left this world. Right, there's a Gemara in Ksubis that many reference that when tzaddikim leave this world, there's a real sense of inner joy. Kam Rebbe Elazar Bray, so his son Rebbe Elazar stood up and he took the hands of his father, Vinoshik Lon, and he kissed them. Which is an interesting question halachically, because we know that when someone passes away, officially not allowed to kiss someone once they're deceased. I'm sure Rebbe Elazar had a cheshbon. And everyone who was there began to cry, but they weren't able to open their mouths and actually say anything. They were like paralyzed by the pain of the moment. However, eventually, they had the yecholis to speak, and Rebbe Elazar Bray said, Abba, Abba. Very similar to what Elisha said when Eliyahu ascended in the chariot of fire. And that was the end of the Rashbi. However, the very end of this passage says that there is a conversation as to where the proper burial place should be. And not surprisingly, there is an incredible siyata deshmaya being led by heaven as to where the kever of the Rashbi was destined, where the coffin itself, havisalik ba'avira, was floating in the air and being brought to the special place in Meiron. Ve'esha havi lohit kamai, and there was a fire in front of it leading the way. Shamu kala, and all of us who were there, we heard a bas kol. Ulu va'asu v'yiskanshu lehilula the Rebbe Shimon, that all should come and enter in the hilula the Rebbe Shimon, in the celebration of Rebbe Shimon. So people ask the question, where does this whole concept of the hilula the Rashbi come from? Generally speaking, if you look into the halacha, a yard site is not a hilula. It's not a celebration. It's a time of quasi-mourning. However, it comes from the Zohar itself that seems to be instructing us, at least in subsequent years, that we should observe the yard site of the Rashbi as a hilula, a celebration based on what? Based on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Yovu Sholom Yanuchu al Mishkavosav. The fact that the Rashbi entered into the next world as a sholem, and likely part of the simcha was what he shared b'shleimusa as he was making that transition, that's cause of celebration. Question, yes?
I'm assuming that Rabbi Shimon did not write this part of the Zohar.
This is probably Rabbi Abba. He instructed Rabbi Abba to be writing down all the teachings his last day. In general, and this could be a different topic of discussion, right, the authorship of the Zohar. Sounds like a very modern Orthodox kind of discussion. The scholarly approach. Bottom line is, the Masorah and Klal Yisrael, we have from the Gra and the Ramchal and the Maral, that the Zohar is all Kodesh Kedoshim, the teachings of the Rashbi. But it doesn't mean that every word was written by the Rashbi. That nobody says. Okay. So, Lag B'Omer is a special day. What does this have to do with what we find in Nigla, that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, and then Rabbi Akiva got five new Talmidim to keep Torah Shebaal Peh going? Turn to the very last page for a moment. This is page 5. This is from the Hagdama to the Sefer Eitz Chaim. Who is the author of the Sefer Eitz Chaim? Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital was the main disciple of the Arizal. And we know that the Arizal himself did not write down his teachings, and he would not allow Talmidim to write down his teachings because he was afraid they wouldn't fully understand it. The only Talmud he gave permission to was Rav Chaim Vital. So I heard this many, many years ago, and I was always somewhat skeptical, like, how do we know that's true? Where is that documented? But the answer is, when I actually found the Svarim of Rav Chaim Vital, Rav Chaim Vital himself says that. So it's well documented that the Ari gave permission and hadracha to Rav Chaim Vital to write down his Torah. One of his Svarim is the Eitz Chaim. In the Hagdama to the Eitz Chaim, he speaks about the contribution of the Zohar and the revelation of Sodei HaTorah from the Rashbi. He says that as we were exiled from our land, right, at what point in history did Rav Shimon Bar Yochai live? Rabbi Yaakov, you're always the go-to historian. Probably a little bit later. We'll call it second century. How about that? I don't know if we have exact dates. Second century CE. When did Rav Chaim Vital live? Late 1500s. Late 1500s, right? So this is many, many years after the Rashbi. Rav Chaim Vital is telling us that when Klal Yisrael was sent into Galus, there was a real concern that the Masorah, especially the Masorah of Nistar, would be lost forever. And therefore, min shemayim baruch Hashem al yedei Rashbi zal v'chaverov, through the Rashbi and his chevra, they were able to uplift the Shekhinah me'afra ul'ara reshe chibra osu chibra kodosh ad shetachas ha'ilonu ravrava Kol tzipori shemaya, prozen and miskanshins, sarfe kodesh v'chayos, v'ofanei kodesh lishmoa ulfin chadetin mipume de rashbi, zecher tzadik v'kodesh levracha v'schuso yoged aleinu v'nomer, amen. So the Rav Chaim Vital is telling us that really the Rashbi was able to save the Torah Shebaal Peh of Nister and allow us, right, throughout all of the Doros to have access to that Torah Shebaal Peh of Nister. Now we know that most people, even Talmidei Chachamim throughout the generations, were not necessarily masters in Kabbalah, but there was always that unbroken chain of Kabbalah through the teachings of the Rashbi. So I thought it's a beautiful connection between the reason we find for Lag BaOmer in Nigla and the reason we find for Lag BaOmer in Nister, that really it's a celebration of the same Yesod, right? The Pri Chodesh famously says that when Rabbi Akiva was able to establish 5 new Talmidim and maintain and strengthen Torah Shebaal Peh for all of the generations, that was the Ikar Simcha of Lag BaOmer. The Ikar Simcha of the Halula de Rashbi is really along the same lines of him sharing these sodos of Torah, right? The fire that was there and the fire that we emulate every year, again, to strengthen that chain and make sure that we have the continuity of Torah Shebaal Peh more in the realm of Nister. So he says that's perhaps the celebration of Lag BaOmer, right? Here's a famous question. Why do we celebrate Lag BaOmer? Because they stopped dying. The reason they stopped dying is because they were all dead. So usually when the whole yeshiva dies, okay, now let's have a party, right? That was his kasha. His answer was the real celebration is the 5 new Talmidim and the continuity of Torah. So I think in that vein, although we view it as like 2 separate parts of Lag BaOmer, they're very connected conceptually. Let's look at the Rashbi himself for a moment. So there are many different Gemaras throughout Shas where we have little vignettes and snippets into the life of the Rashbi. One of the most famous ones is the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Gimel, where it speaks about conversation that took place between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. They were all sitting together, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim shared with the group. He was complimenting the Roman government, and he said, "Kamenoi maaseyin shel umazu. Look at all the incredible things they're doing. They're creating tariffs for the Chinese and helping to, you know, strengthen the borders." Tiknu gisharim, tiknu merchotzos. They're making bridges and bathhouses. So he was praising the Roman government. Rabbi Yossi Shasak, Rabbi Yossi who was there, didn't say anything. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai who was there, Nana Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai v'amar, kol ma shetiknu lo tiknu l'tzorach atzmon. Let's not spend time complimenting the Romans. We all know that whatever they're doing, they're doing it for themselves. They're not doing it out of a sense of generosity or hospitality. Fine. Now, Yehuda ben Gerim, he shared the conversation and word got out to the Roman government and they made a decree that Yehuda ben Gerim, who was praising the government, Yisala, he should be uplifted and given covet. Yossi, Shesasak, Rabbi Yossi, who didn't say anything, Yigla Litzipori, he should be exiled to Tzipori. And Shimon, Shegina, however, Shimon Bar Chai, who disrespected the Roman government, Yehareg, he should be killed. So it was at this time that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, together with his son, they went into hiding. And first they went into hiding in the Beis Medrash, and I never fully understood that. Right? If they're looking for the Rashbi, they would never think to look in the Beis Medrash. But he went to the different shul, the shul that he never davened at, right? So he was there together with his son, and his holy wife would bring them bread and water every day. However, as the Gezerah intensified, so the Rashbi said to Rabbi Elazar Beno, Noshim daitin kala lehen. We've had conversations as to what this means, that women have a lighter das. This only comes up a few times in Shas, And the context is always not talking about intellectual capacity or IQ, it's talking about a certain like aggressiveness and being able to hold one's ground. So the Rashbi said, we know we have a klal that Noshim Daitin Kala Lehen, and I'm afraid that if the Roman government comes in, the soldiers come in, and they start really pressuring Mami, she might reveal our location, so we're going to go into hiding into a cave, we're not going to tell her where we are, and that's what happened. Yisrochish Nisa Ibrulahu Charuva Ve'ena Demaya. So as they were there, a nace took place where a carob tree grew, and there was a spring of water, and they lived on that for 12 years. Right? They spent the whole day, they took off their clothes, their clothes should be in decent condition for when they would daven. The rest of the time, they had their bodies in sand, and they were learning Torah. Only when they daven, they would put their clothing on, and they would live off carobs and water. Now, there are many interesting questions here. We're going to approach a few of them, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is performing a nes for the Rashbi and Elazar Beno, why a carob tree? I could think of so many more fruits that would be a lot more gishmak.
What couldn't the nes be that he killed the government? In other words, there's so many other layers. Like,
yes, all good questions.
In other words, assuming that they're going to tell him the case or die.
Right. So it's clear from this story that there is a real intent, a divine orchestration as to why there was a need for the Rashbi and Elazar to be there in that setting for 12 years, which is really 13 years altogether. So the story concludes that at the end of 12 years, of being there in Kedusha and Tahara and Tefillah and Hisbodadus and Limud HaTorah, so Eliyahu Navi passes by the cave and he says something, right? Doesn't say leave the cave, but he says, "Man lo de lebar yochai de mis keser bitte gezerote." Right? Has anyone heard that the keser has passed away and the decree is now nullified? Interesting way of sharing the information. But based on that, they got the message. They came out. However, because they were mamish in yeshiva there for 12 years, and now you're coming out into the world and you're seeing people do all of these mundane activities, they mamish couldn't take it, to the point where as they were gazing at people, they were just evaporating. Never a good thing to do if you want to keep friends. So Yotza Bas Kol V'Amr Lahem, L'Hachriv Olami Yotzasem, you came out of the cave to destroy my world. Chizru L'Maraschem, I go back to your room. Clearly you need 5 more minutes. So they went in for another year, and then they came out again. At this time, it was not Eliyahu coming by and being merames that it was time to leave, but this time Yotza Bas Kol V'Amr Tzu'u Mimarasachem, giving clear instructions, now it's time to leave the cave. They went out, and kol heichad havi moche Rabbi Elazar, havi moser Rabbi Shimon. Whatever Rabbi Elazar would destroy through his gazing, Rabbi Shimon would heal. Why was it that Rabbi Elazar was more prone to destroying, and Rabbi Shimon had the ability of healing? So the Gra writes, the difference between Rabbi Elazar and Shimon is that Rabbi Shimon, when he went into the cave, I don't know exactly if we have information how old he was, but he was already a zaken. That's what the Gra says. He was an older man. So he had a whole experience of life dealing with people living in the real world, so to speak, and understanding that, you know, people have to also engage in mundane activities. So it was hard for Rabbi Shimon after being secluded in that Kedusha, in that bubble of Kedusha, but he was able to understand people better. Rabbi Elazar Beno, he went into that cave as a little boy. So his whole existence, his whole consciousness was within the midbar, so to speak. And therefore, he had no tolerance, he had no capacity to deal with people who were just living in total disconnect from Ruchnius. That's what the Gra writes. However, the Rashbi says to his son, listen, don't worry about it, Baruch Hashem, we have you and I in the world to generate the Ruchnius. And then they saw this older gentleman walking with two bundles of myrtle, and they asked him, why was he doing that? Why does he have two? He says, L'kavod Shabbos, one is for Zohar, one is for Shomer, and that brought them Nechama, that even people who are Osik and Olam Hazeh, they still have a kesher to Ruchnius. At the end, it says that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, who, according to the Gemara, was his son-in-law, he had a conversation with the Rashbi, and he was trying to massage and clean his back after living in sand for 12 years, probably not so good for the skin. Good for hair growth, right? But not for the skin itself. Okay. So, Chazed Ahavi Bey Pili Begufe, he saw he had all these cracks, and Reb Pinchas Ben Yair began to cry. A tear fell onto the back of the Rashbi, and it caused him pain. Reb Pinchas Ben Yair said, "Oi li shereisicha bekach. Oi, I feel that it's so bad I have to see you like this." The Rashbi said back, "Ashrecha shereisani bekach. No, you're fortunate to be able to see me like this. Why? Shilmole lo reisani bekach, lo matosi bekach. If you didn't see me like this, then you would not find me the man that I am today." And the Gemara explains, initially, when the Rashbi would have a question, Reb Pinchas ben Yair would have 24 terutzim. L'sof, after the experience of 12 years in the cave, so when the Reb Pinchas ben Yair had a question, the Rashbi would have 24 terutzim. Okay, so I wanted to analyze a few points of this story, and this is going to be based on the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai addresses the question, why a choruv? Why a carob tree? L'chora, he preferred mango. That's the question of the Ben Ish Chai. So he says, Nira li b'siyata d'shmaya ramzu b'zeh min ha-shamayim al mituk ha-giboros b'chasadim. It was dafka the choruv because it was alluding to the fact that their time in the Mara together, it wasn't just their own learning that they were excelling in and their own kedusha that they were ascending, but they were mamish doing things for the world and the universe. They were being mesakik, mesakain, not mesakain, but mituk. Mituk is the sweeten. Mamtik, there you go. Mamtik hadinim. So how does that relate to the choruv? So it's choruv, begematria is 216, and gvura, begematria is 216. And mayim represents chasadim. So the water that was there was merames on the chesed that they were pouring on to the dinim. Gam ramzu lehem sheyekablu yisurim b'simcha kadei shebezeh yitmatku hagiboros. Also, it's being merames that they were able to be mekabel their yisurim b'simcha, and through that they were being sweetening the judgments throughout the world. Furthermore, the Ben Ish Chai says that Mayim and Choruv, Memches, Keneged Memches, Milo Shel Torah, the 48 Kenyani HaTorah, that they were being mashlim in to be able to reach higher levels of Torah. One thing we see from the Ben Ish Chai is that the understanding of their time in the cave was doing a lot for the Bria and all of humanity. Another indication of this is that he speaks about the significance of them being in the sand ad savorov, all the way up until their neck. So the halachic reason was because when they were learning Torah, they wanted to be covered, and they couldn't have their clothing on all the time, otherwise we get worn out. However, as suggested Ben Ish Chai, it could be there is a deeper kavana as well, which was l'sakein chet adam harishon shepogam b'tor adam. The chet of adam harishon chipped away at the whole tsura of what a human being was. Shehifrid ha'alef ve'hevi dam le'olam. Adam, alef, dalet, mem, through the chait of the Eitz Hadas, brought dam le'olam, so he took away the alef. Ve'heima to'osku b'torah ha'maruza ba'alef, lashon aluf, v'yosem yoshvim b'toch ha'chol, shehu misper dam. Chol is gematria of dam. What were they adding to the chol, the dam? They were adding the aleph, right? That's what it's referred to being osek in Torah, adding the aleph back to the dalet and the mem. B'zeh chibros aleph b'osios dam v'nishlam sheim adam. Okay. The last thing he says is, he is bothered by the question, why when 12 years was up, Eliyahu just walked by the cave and said some kind of statement that was more of a question, letting them know that the Gezerah was nullified. Koshav, hello Eliyahu, zach letov, haya ba etzlam b'chol yom v'osik b'torah imahem, v'lama lo omer lo zeh pel peh. The premise of the Ben Ish Chai is that when they were learning in the cave, it wasn't just the two of them, but Eliyahu Navi was there, mamish together with them every single day. So he's bothered by the kasha, why now, when it's time to leave, are you just standing outside and saying something derech remez? Come in like you always do and explain to them it's time to go. So he answers, because it wasn't really time to go. Right? The cheshbon was they needed 13 years, but that last year needed to be with an understanding. They had to work on their becoming more acclimated to the real world. But the question, though, is definitely being megala that there was a lot going on in that cave for 13 years. The last thing he points out is the conversation between Reb Pinchas ben Yair when he says, "Oi, that I have to see you like this." And the Rashbi says, "No, Ashrecha, that you're seeing me like this." Is the gematria of Oi is 17. The gematria of Tov, Ein Tov Ela Torah, the gematria of Tov is 17 as well. His point was, it was through the suffering that you're looking at and you're saying, Oi, I'm able to look at it and say, Haya Tov, because it's totally transformed who I am. One other gemara that's not as well known, but it was during a time also of Roman persecution, that they had to send someone on behalf of the Jewish people to the Roman government. So the Chachamim were having this question, who should we send? So Yelich Rashbi, Shehu Melumad Benisim. Let's send the Rashbi, because it sounds like chronologically this Gemara in Me'ila took place after the Gemara in Shabbos. We all know that he's Melumad Benisim. Let's send him. There was a debate as to who else should come along with him, but the story concludes that as he was on his way, right, together with Rabbi Yossi, so Yotza Likroso Ben Talmayon. Ben Talmayon was a shade. And he said, Ritzon Chem Ovo Imochem. Hey guys, do you want me to come with you? Maybe I could be helpful. Okay, so here's the second time we see Reb Shimon crying, right? We saw that in the Zohar, when the house was filled with people, because that meant that the Shekhinah was not as present, the Eish wasn't there. Now we see from Shas, that Bocher Reb Shimon, he cried, and he said, Mashivcha shel Beis Abba nizdamin lo malach shlosh pomim. The Shivcha of Beis Abba, referring to Hagar, right, she had Malachim come to her three different times. And with me, I'm not zoch even to have one malach. I have to have a shade. Yavu hanes mikol makom. But I guess, listen, if the miracle has to come, it'll come mikol makom, even if it's coming from a shade. It's insightful, though, that the Bechi of Rav Shimon, both in the Zohar and in this Gemara, is based on the same idea in Hashkafa. If there's ever a concern that I feel like I'm on a lower madrega than I'd like to be, that's the greatest tsar. The Chazon Ish writes this in the Sefer Emunah Bitachon. He says, for someone who's living with clarity, the greatest source of joy in life is when we have a sense of accomplishment, that I did something, I was able to overcome a challenge, I was able to help somebody in a very meaningful way. That's the greatest source of simcha. And writes the Chazon Ish, the greatest source of tzar is when I feel like I'm not in the madrega I could be. Right? And those are the two places we find the Rashbi crying. However, it worked out well that when they got to the Kesar, the Ben Talmayon went in front of them and he went into the daughter of the Kesar and made her extremely ill. This is one of the places in Shas we have an instance of a D-book. So kind of set it up for the Rashbi. The Rashbi came in. Everyone is in a state of chaos. the princess is dying. You could imagine the Kesar didn't know what to do, and now he sees a holy man, help me. So walks in the Rashbi, right? Ben Talmayon just kind of threw him a nice soft pitch. He comes in, say, Ben Talmayon, say, leave, right? Leave this girl. The cave in the car relayed Norfolk also. And as soon as he said those words, the shade left the girl, and she was fully healed. And because of that, he was able to have the relationship with the Kesar to at least mitigate some of the gezeros. It's interesting, if you remember, a while ago we spoke about the story of Rabbi Cheskel Levinstein, who was there in the great shul in Baranovich when Rav Elchanan was sent by the Chafetz Chaim to remove the D-book that was in this little girl. And he said pretty much the exact same words, right? It wasn't a whole complicated Kabbalistic paragraph. He just said, I was sent by the Chafetz Chaim, leave this girl. And the shade left. Yes.
So we have a few places where it seems like the Rashbi is elevated spiritual status equals like incapability of being with other humans, right? And it just seems kind of antithetical to like what I would assume an elevated human would like to leave it. Okay, so 13 years perfecting yourself in the Mayan Torah, and what you come out with is that you look at people and they burn off. It just kind of like, it seems like a fire and brimstone kind of religion. No pun intended there, right?
That's good. Whatever happened to Derechecha Darchei Noam V'chol Nesivoseh HaShalom? It's a good question. If he's coming out of that in-depth study, you would think he'd be a more refined and loving human being. And the answer is he was. He was. But it seems like, at least in that initial appearance from the cave, the Kedusha was so powerful.
That's what he said. Normally, I'd have to bubble around me. You'd have to stay away from me. But now, because I'm in this like degraded state, now I can be around people.
On his deathbed, when he mentioned that he has the fire around him up until now, so isn't that somewhat of a, not so inviting, right? Okay, it's a good question.
That was some sort of metaphysical reality. He wasn't like, get out of my house. It was more of, what it was when he came back from this out-of-body Shemayim experience, that there was just a level of Kedusha. The same thing that Klal Yisrael and the Mimer couldn't talk to the Eberster.
I think there is, and there's something we could relate to. If you've had the experience, right, it's a good question, but whatever that emanation of Kedusha was that made it that I couldn't just approach you and give you a big bear hug, it doesn't sound like it was coming from a place of a lack of love or sensitivity. It's interesting, in Rav Moshe Cordovero, the Ramak, he has a list of Kabbalos that he made, and the first few, one of them is, I'm a Kabbal upon myself, never to go more than Dalet Amos without constantly being Osig B'Torah Lishma. Okay? And then like two Kabbalos later, he writes, I'm a Kabbal upon myself to always be Me'uravim Habrios, B'Sefer Panam Yafos, right? To love and to treat people with respect. So those two things seem to be in contradiction, but if you're doing it right, it's possible that they could both, work together. And I assume after the 13th year, they were both working together, a beautiful synthesis. I want to point out one more thing, because I do want to get to one stanza of the song Bar Yochai. All throughout Shas, we find the Tana Rabbi Shimon. Now, there was more than one Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Shimon Elazar, and we also have a Shimon Bar Yochai. So it would have been easier if all throughout Shas, whenever we're referring to Shimon Bar Yochai, the Mishnah would say Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. However, to make it more exciting, we don't have it like that. And there are many places Reb Shimon's mentioned more than probably almost 400 places throughout Mishnayos, one of the most highly mentioned Tanayim. Sometimes it's Reb Shimon, and sometimes Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So there's a Sefer, the name of the Sefer is Ben Yochai. You can guess what the topic is of this Sefer. But he speaks about different elements and aspects of the Rashbi. He's bothered by this question. Why is it that it's so confusing throughout Shas? Sometimes Reb Shimon is referring to the Rashbi, sometimes it's a different Reb Shimon, and then sometimes it'll actually say Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. It should always call him Shimon Bar Yochai. So he has an amazing idea. This is on page 4. He says, Kol ha-maimorim ha-ksuvim b'shas b'shem Reb Shimon Stam. Whenever you find Reb Shimon, Heman nemorim imenu kodem lechto lemara. That was a teaching from Reb Shimon before he went into the cave. V'maimorim ha-nemorim imenu b'shem Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Those were the teachings that he shared with Klal Yisrael after 13 years when he left the cave. It's almost like Lahavdil. You know, you have before COVID and after COVID, right? There is this turning point where, like, we're in a little bit of a different world.
Why does the full name indicate?
Oh, okay. So it seems like the halachos that Reb Shimon taught before those 13 years, obviously he was one of the greatest Tanayim and his teachings were learned and studied and they still are. But the assumption is it's a different Madrega of Torah. When you see something quoted, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said this, that means this was Reb Shimon after his elevation through the Mara. However, he's bothered by the question. He says, if you look back in our Gemara and Shabbos, it works out pretty well. Because it starts off by saying that there was a conversation that took place, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, doesn't say Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. However, there's one exception. When Rabbi Shimon chimes in and he responds to what Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim said, the way the Gemara has it is, Nana Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai v'amar, kol ma shetiknu lo tiknu l'tzorech atzman. So that was before the cave. So he's bothered by that question. So he says as follows. He says, Hakavona lemor, shetachlis kavonas manoso. Why did you, there's still a question in that Gemara that many Rishonim address and their tshuvas on this. Why would he say that? You know you're risking your life. Anything you say, once you've lived more than 2.5 years in this world, you know it will be shared with others, right? So why are you putting down the Roman government? What are you accomplishing by doing that? You're potentially risking your life.
Is there any significance that in and of itself he's speaking to Shon Har or Achilles?
Oh, nice angle. Nice angle. But it sounds like in this case, he was putting them down for a very holy reason, which was what? That tachlis manosu haisu oz lekadesh Hashem leman haemes. You know, I understand that you're saying something complimentary, and you have your cheshbonos, and you want to be viewed as a friend of the government. I have no patience for flattery. I'm not a big chanifa type of person. I only speak the truth. There's no tolerance for any semblance of sheker. So haisu oz lekadesh Hashem leman haemes. And he had no fear, he had no anxiety from another human being. Even those who were kagova rozim, even those who were very powerful and influential, kedarko ledaber velasos acharei tseso meyamara. And this was the derech of Reb Shimon when he left the cave. He came out of that cave not only an elevated human being, right, a giant of ruchnius, but there is a strength of character where there is no pachad lo saguru mipnei ish. I'm doing emes leman shehu emes and don't get in my way. Yon oz heichel lilvosh oz. So it was really at that moment, even though he wasn't transformed yet to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, but he was wearing those begodim of strength in the same manner that he would when he became Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, HaGodol VaHanora Asher Yisuper Mimenu B'chol HaShas. This is alluded to in the Pizmon that we have when we sing Bar Yochai. Now, Bar Yochai is a very Kabbalistic poem and song, much of which is very difficult to understand. It was authored by the great Mekubal Rav Shimon Lavi, who lived in the 1500s. He was born in 1485 in Spain. Not the best time to be born in Spain. So he left when he was 7, and he spent most of his life in Morocco. He lived in Fez until he was 70. When he was 70 years old, he decided to fulfill his life's dream of making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And he did so. However, the Chidah writes in the Shem HaGadolim, he stopped in Italy, and he found himself in a city where there were people who were total amaratzim. The Chidah writes about Reb Shimon Lavi, Ani shemati shehayadaito lisa l'Eretz Yisrael. However, when he came to this little village, he saw Shaloha Yodim Dos Vidin Afilu Tfilu Brachos. These people were Mamish Amaratzim. They couldn't daven, they couldn't learn. The Omar Balibo, who said in his heart, Kitov lo lekarvim letoru lalame toru leyires Hashem. Even though my life's dream was to go to Eretz Yisrael, it's better I stay here in Gaulis in some random place in Italy to be Makariv these people, the Devar Hashem, Vize Yoser Choshuv Mehelichas Eretz Yisrael. And I feel I'll be doing more for the Kavod Shemayim than going to Eretz Yisrael. He was Matzliach, writes the Chidah. He changed the entire community. Kemat Legairim. He almost converted them. That was the level of impact he had on them. Ulaharbitz Torasham. He lived 30 more years and died as a Zokin Muflog at 100 years old. He was the author of the Pizmon Bar Yochai. So we have the refrain of Bar Yochai, Nimshachta Ashrecha, Shemin Soson Mechavirecha. The entire Pizmon seems to be based on this Pasuk in Tehillim and Memhei, Ahavta Tzedek V'Tisna Resha, one who loves justice and hates evil, Alkein Mishachocha Elokim Elokecha, Shemin Soson Mechavirecha. Hashem anointed you with oil that brings you soson, that brings you joy, that uplifts you above your peers. That's what the Pasuk says in Tehillim, and Rav Shimon Lavi takes that Pasuk in reference, or at least poetically in reference, to the Rashbi. In one stanza, I think in the second stanza, he says, Bar Yochai Moshev Tov, Yeshafta Yom Nosta Miyom, Asher Becharta B'moros Tzurim. That Bar Yochai, you sat in Tov. Again, Ein Tov Ela Torah. That means you were sitting, you were immersed in Torah. Yeshavta Yom, Nosta Yom Asher Becharta Berachta B'maras Tzurim. The very day that you ran, that you were Boreach into the cave of stone, that same day you decided to immerse yourself fully in Torah. Even though there is some level of anxiety, and what am I doing here? How long am I going to be here? But there is no other cheshbono, shemana tasham kanisa hodcha v'hadarecha. There, in the Mara, you are able to acquire your hod and your hadar. What does hod and hadar mean? So the pasuk earlier in the same paragraph in Tehillim speaks about chagar charbecha al yerech gibor hodcha v'hadarecha, which means you're able to wage war, the war of Torah, with your hod and with your hadar. But what are those two phrases, those two words? So in the Siddur HaMefurish, he quotes from the Malbim. The Malbim has in a few places that hod is always the koach v'haziv ha-panimi, the inner light. The hadar, that's the yofi ha-chitzoni ha-nigla. That's referring to the external beauty. Now, it's not the external beauty unto itself, it's the external beauty that's a manifestation of the panimius. But hod is the panimius and hadar is the chitzonius, and therefore it could very well be that what Rav Shimon Lavi was referring to about the Rashbi sitting Moshe of Tov the very same day that he was escaping, running for his life, the Maris Tzurim, it was through that he acquired his hod and his hadar. His hod, his achievements in Torah, in the Torah that's nigla, as we saw from him being able to answer 24 terutzim to any shayla of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, and that's the hadar, rather, that's the nigla, and the hod, which is the panemius, is the panemius haTorah, which he was zocha to through the teachings of the Zohar that came from that time in the cave. What's that? Oh, could very well be. I like that. Okay. The schus of the Rashbi should be yogin aleinu. Shkoyach. He went from Spain to Morocco.
That's an interesting year, 1492.